You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you take your seat, find someone, give them a high five, and say, hey, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right, y'all got to say that with that type of swagger. You got to say, hi, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Y'all didn't know y'all were from the South? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, it is great to be here with you all today. Man.
How's your Fredlin?
Oh, Fredlin is great. Kids are great. I do want to just take a moment. Prophet Jules is here with his wife. With his wife. I think last time you were here, Prophet, you weren't married yet. So please stand up with your wife, bro. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're just so happy that we can be in the house with y'all on today. And y'all might have the opportunity to hear from Prophet later. We are immensely, immensely grateful for the Bridge. Y'all might not know this because y'all don't see me all the time, but I really do consider the Bridge home. You know, let me say that again. I really do consider the Bridge home. Amen. I don't think y'all heard me the first time. Amen. And so it is truly a privilege to be back home. I got two homes. Restoration is home too. So great morning to all. And I'm going to ask for those of you who are online, please take a moment, share this stream. I believe that there is a word from the Lord today. So let's pray. Father, speak to us your life-changing word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So I absolutely, positively, wholeheartedly, entirely love the Guidrys. I'm incredibly grateful for Paul and Debbie and Riley sometimes. It depends on how he's feeling. Oh, man. But God is so good. And you might not know this, but the Lord has blessed you all with an angel of a family to shepherd y'all's. And please don't take that lightly. Let me say that again. And please, Bridge, don't take that lightly. Have you ever been a part of a church where the pastor didn't care? No? Maybe? Okay, don't put your hands up. Don't put your hands up. Or have you ever been to a church where the pastor viewed his assignment as just preaching and then was out? Disconnected, indifferent. That's not what's here. That's not what's here, family. So every opportunity that you have, you honor those in leadership just as you would honor your father and your mother, so that you would have long life according to the promise of the Word of God. Amen. 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 All right. So I want to jump into this today, and I kind of want to start off by simply sharing this journey that I've been on lately. There's been a part of me that's been clamoring, knocking on the door at the throne of grace, saying, Lord, I want to see more, but where's it at? Lord, where's the more? And then I don't know about you, but you know, recently we've heard that there's revival popping off at this Asbury revival. Y'all have heard? And so I poked my head in, right? We've got this privilege now that we could see things online and be part of revival from afar. It's not the same, but at least you can kind of be nosy and poke your head in a little bit. And so I poked my head in, and it actually bothered me all the more. Not that I'm jealous, but maybe I low-key am, right? Like, God, why is this not happening here? What about all of the prophetic words that have been spoken over our region? God, where's the revival that's supposed to come? Okay, so I'm not alone, right? Y'all's, okay, amen, praise the Lord. But where's it at? Where is it at? And it's funny, as I was kind of thinking about this and having this conversation with the Lord, I was thinking about today's assignment too and beginning to just pray on the assignment. And Lord, what's the assignment? And so I had been doing some studying on spiritual warfare and having some conversations with folks upon spiritual warfare. And I was thinking, maybe that was the assignment and that wasn't the assignment, Bridge. So I'm sorry, no spiritual warfare today. But as I was praying about this, this one word dropped into my spirit, and it dropped into my spirit repeatedly. One word. And the word was run. Run, Forrest, run. Right? Run. Run was the one word that I kept repeatedly hearing. Run. As a little kid, I grew up in Boston. I went to this school in Jamaica Plains called Blessed Sacrament School. It's on Center Street, if y'all are familiar with JP. And I was one of those kids that just ran. I had no idea where I was going, right? I was just running. Y'all ever see kids like that, right? You're running aimlessly, just running to run. Right, just running to run, and that was me, right? Running with no purpose, running with no destination, just running to run, right? And so one particular day, I'm at my elementary school, and it's a parochial school, so you got your uniform and you got dress shoes on, right? So it's not like you got sneakers, you got shoes on, right? But I'm still running, it don't matter, right? And so one day, I'm running in the schoolyard, and as I'm running in the schoolyard, I slip. And I'm running, so there's this momentum that's going, and I slip and I fall and I get face planted on this kind of rock thing. Boom, blood everywhere, teeth all jacked up, messed up, first grader, crying. And I had this one best friend. My best friend in first grade was a kid named Michael Gilbert. Michael Gilbert was a nice, red-headed, freckled boy from JP. And that boy cried more than me, y'all. He cried, I cried, I was bloodied. And I don't know if you know this, but if you run aimlessly, you are bound to get hurt. And the truth is, many of us in the church, in Christendom, at Restoration, at the Bridge, run aimlessly. We run not knowing or having in view the destination in which we're called to. We go to church because we're supposed to go to church, and that's cool. We go through the motions because we're supposed to go through the motions, and that's cool. But if we really think about it and we're really honest, it's as if there's something missing. It's as if we're not quite connecting to the purpose or the plan that the Lord says he has for us, that we're not quite aligned with because we're not necessarily running with that in mind or in view. Scripture declares in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Run in such such a way as to get the prize. There's a way in which we're supposed to run. There's a way in which we're supposed to run. Are we truly running our race the way in which we're supposed to run? Verse 25 continues, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave, make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. There's this danger that Paul illustrates here that the church has to be attentive to and aware of. You can actually run your race, live your life in faith, but at the end of the race be disqualified from the prize because you didn't run the race the right way. There must be a defined purpose in the race that we're running. The goal before us must be clear, or we run the risk of aimlessly beating the air, aimlessly fasting, aimlessly meeting, aimlessly sacrificing, aimlessly jaywalking. Family, why are we running this race? What's the prize? What's at the finish line? Is it in view? Is it in view? In the natural, what happens when you run? Any of y'all runners in here? Got a couple, anybody? Okay, used to, me too, I used to. Right. As you begin to run, something happens. A lot of us start off, we're running and we're well-intentioned. We're well-intentioned, right? I'ma do this 5K, or I'ma do this 15 minutes. Shoot, I'ma even set it on the treadmill. I'm not gonna run outside, I'll run in the treadmill, yeah. And I'm gonna do 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And then what happens? You start to run, right? Physiologically, ATP is released, and that ATP is energy. It transitions to ADP, and that gives you a little bit of a surge in energy, and you start to go forward, and the next thing you know, your heartbeat picks up. Right, and as your heartbeat picks up, you're running, you're starting to sweat a little bit, and then all of a sudden, as you're going forward, you begin to get tired. You begin to get tired. You start to breathe heavier, right? You start to sweat more. And then a lot of times, you know what happened? We go from running to jogging, to walking, to saying, I'm good, I tried. Can we be honest? Any of y'all ever been there? Any of y'all ever been there? Well, I want to commend you for at least trying. There's a spiritual parallel to what happens in the natural in terms of running. We start off well-intentioned, right? We get saved. Praise the Lord, right? We connect to this body of believers. And if you're at the bridge, you get hounded. Y'all supposed to laugh at my corny joke. Never mind. Right? And supported. That's what I was trying to say. Supported. That's better. Yeah, yeah. You got supported. Not hounded. Supported. Praise the Lord. And then as you're supported along this journey, you begin to grow. And the muscles that are moving in your faith journey, right? You know, the power, that ADP, ATP is akin to the spirit, right? And the spirit is empowering you to walk this journey. And just like as you're running, your heart beats faster and you start to feel tension in different parts of your body, and that kind of helps undergird your stride. The body comes alongside you, right? And as the body comes alongside you, it helps undergird your stride, your spiritual disciplines that you're trying to maintain. And you're going forward along this race that the Lord has called you on, placed you upon. But the question is, what happens when you get tired along the race? What has happened along your journey when you have gotten tired along your race? Are you running? Or are you jogging? Or are you walking? Or have you, even though you're still here in church or online, tapped out? Have you tapped out? A big part of this is simply knowing that there's a destination that you're called to. A big part of this is knowing simply that there's purpose that the Lord has placed in me. And while, you know, I know Pastor Paul doesn't like the word destiny, right? That's a curse word, but he ain't here. He ain't here. Praise the Lord. But right? But there is this plan that the Lord has for you. That's a safer Paul Guidry word. There is this plan that he has for you. There are these purposes for which he's created you for. And here's the truth, as long as you are breathing, as long as you are breathing, there is still a race to be run. As long as you're still here, family, there is a call and a charge that the Lord has called you to. And the question again still is, are you running your race? It's real important to note this fact too. Your race is not your neighbor's race. Your race is not your mother's race. It's not your brother's race. Your race is your race. The fact of the matter is this, the Lord has placed within you certain skills and gifts and talents and even personality traits that empowers you to run your race. Not your neighbor's race, your race. And again, I keep asking this question because this question is so critical to us today. Are you running your race? Are you running your race? Are you running your race? While having that destination before you in mind, right? There is this idea of while there's this personal charge, race, call upon us, there's also this corporate thing that's upon us as well, right? I don't know if you know this, but you're here at the Bridge and it's not by accident. Shoot, some of y'all have tried to run away from this place, right? And as you tried to run away from these Bridge folk who you sometimes think in your right mind ain't so right-minded, right? Right? What you've discovered is this is where the Lord has called you to run this race, right? And as such, this is where the Lord, some of y'all watching, right? Because I share this with you all. Restoration is also watching. So we're kind of both watching here this morning. Some of y'all have said the same thing like, Lord, why am I still here? And you've tried to go elsewhere, but it's because the Lord's placed you here, right? The Lord's placed you here, right? And he's placed you here because here's the reality. While there's an individual race that you're called to, you're also a part of this local body who also has its race that you have a part in helping to press forward with. I had a chance to speak with Pastor Paul a few weeks back, and I said, hey man, how's it been going? What you've been preaching? He said, man, the Lord really laid on my heart to start the year off just reaffirming foundation. Reaffirming foundations. Like, praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. This whole idea of where the Lord has called you as a body, the Lord has placed upon your pastor's heart to reaffirm in this season. The sermon series that just got completed was reaffirmation of where it is that the Bridge collectively is going. It's not new. It's not new. None of it's new, right? But sometimes what we need is a reminder of where it is the Lord's calling us to. Y'all know that the Bridge isn't a normal church. There's not much normal about this place. Y'all aren't a church. The reality is you're not a church, like a traditional church, right? This is an apostolic center that's a church to churches. Do y'all get that? So the Lord's charged you and created you and called you to help build other churches and ministries. So it's not surprising that Sister Angela is going to Kenya to help support a number of other churches, right? That's part of the DNA. It's part of the destination and part of the call. And here's the question. Are you doing your part to help the Bridge run its race? Y'all hearing me? Are you doing your part in this season to help the Bridge collectively run its race? Or have you tapped out?
That's so good. Good question. Right.
Still here, physically, but tapped out in terms of actually putting hands to the plow so that this work goes forward. It's so funny. But that's the destination. Do you see it? Are you working towards it? Are you tapped in or are you tapped out? Are you running this race? At Restoration, we've been in this interesting season. Prophet Jules recently shared a vision that the Lord gave him for our city. For those of you who don't know, our city's in Brockton, about 40 minutes south of here. So we're not that far. But in some ways it feels very different, just in terms of what the city is like versus the Metro West region. The Lord gave Prophet this vision one day. We're at church and it's, you know, in prayer time prior to, and the Lord gave him this vision of seeing the city, and on the city it looked like a big road, and there was church upon church upon church in the city. And then the Lord spoke and said, I've removed the lampstands from these churches. And in essence, what we feel part of our charges in the city is to be a spark that brings life back to our city. But a huge part of that is knowing the season that you're in this race. And right now, we view this current season for us as we're kind of underground. Laying foundation, reaffirming structures, and building so that at the appointed time, we can set ablaze our city for the King. But foundation has to be right. And can I tell you, I feel like we're in parallel places. I feel that same truth is where you are too, Bridge. It's where we are collectively. I actually firmly believe that where you are, Bridge, is in this place where y'all might not be making a ton of noise regionally now, but man, oh man, are you shoring up and firming up and training up to ensure that foundation is right so that at the appointed time, you're able to go forth in a way that changes this city. But are we seeing it in that way, family? Are we understanding and recognizing the time and understanding that there's a race to be run, both personally and corporately, so that as we go forth and run this race, we're running it so that we actually win the prize that's before us to win? Are we just going through the motions to go through the motions? Are we running this race in the way in which so that we might gain a prize? Our text today is a fairly familiar portion of scripture. It's found in the book of Philippians chapter 3, and it's verses 12 through 14. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. If you're taking notes today, I want you to note that passage, and we're going to just have a few points that come from it accordingly. But even before we read it, I want you to think about the implications of this. Running aimlessly can kill you. Not only hurt you and mess you up, but it can kill you. Again, I want to make sure that y'all are hearing me today. The Lord has created you on purpose with purpose. And if you're disconnected from that because of the cares of this world, or because you've got other responsibilities that, you know, you've got to tend to, and, you know, you're busy, you're discouraged, you're whatever the case might be, and not to knock, you know, kind of your emotional state and demean it in any way, shape, or form, no. But the heartbeat of what I'm trying to get at here is this fact that there's a race for you to run. There's a way in which to run it. And if we miss it, we not only miss the reason for which the Lord's called us, created us, but we miss out on partaking in what the Lord is desiring to do in us, particularly in us collectively in this season. Are you running your race? Are you running your race with your eye on the prize? Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. I'm reading it from the NIV today. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I want to reread the latter portion of verse 12 here again. I want to make sure y'all see this. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I'm praying you see what the text is saying. There's this idea that there's a purpose for which Christ Jesus saved you. He didn't save you just because you look good. He didn't save you just because he loved you. That's a huge part of why he saved you, yes, but that's not the only reason, family. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He took hold of you for a reason, and there's this charge upon you to press on to take hold of that reason. Y'all's grasping. Amen. Verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. A few things that I want us to just write down as notes to glean that to glean here from this text. First thing, number one, you were saved for your race. Can y'all say this with me? I was saved for my race. Yeah. Let's put it this way. I was saved. Yeah, yeah, thank you, thank you. You're with me. Please repeat this after me. I was saved to run my race. Yeah. Can y'all do that again? This sounds really good. One more time. I was saved to run my race. Yeah, that first time it kind of sounded a little weird to me. You were saved for your race. That's a little weird, right? I was saved to run my race. All right, that's number one. Number two, as long as you're still breathing, you need to run your race. You have not arrived yet. As long as you're still breathing, you need to run your race. You have not arrived yet. Number three, I must press forward. I must press forward. Can y'all say that with me? I must press forward. You will mess up, but keep pressing forward. There were good old days, but keep pressing forward. This region, New England, needs the bridge and restoration, even though some of you might feel like you've been stagnant along the race, but keep pressing forward. And number four, last one. Your race is work, but the prize is worth it. Your race is work, but the prize is worth it. My son, we used to live not too far from here in a sleepy town called Sherbourne. Sleepy town. Oh my gosh, sleepy. And in sixth grade, my son played town basketball. And one day, as the season progressed, we were playing Framingham. And we were playing Framingham in town basketball for playoff seedings. We needed to win this game to get the proper seating and bracket placement for town basketball. So the game is tight. They're up one, we're up one. They're up one, we're up one. And then it comes down to the last, I wanna say 10 seconds or something. We're up one. Brother Christian, we're up 1 point, right? And then the Framingham player gets fouled and he's got 2 free throws. And if he makes his free throws, they're up one. And the tension is mounting. It's palpable, right? And I'm sitting there as a parent. I don't know what to do with myself. I've got no control, but I'm feeling the moment. Y'all ever been there, right? So I'm in this moment, I'm in this place, and the boy from Framingham is at the free throw line, right? And he's about to shoot his free throw, and I don't even know what came over me, y'all, right? It's all quiet, it's all pin drop quiet, right? The boy's name was Dante, right? And then all of a sudden, as he's about to shoot, I yell, Dante! Dante misses the free throw. And then he's got one more free throw to tie the game. Oh, I did. And then he's got one more free throw. He's got one more free throw to tie the game, at least, right? And then, again, the tension is still palpable. And then I go, don't miss, Dante! Dante misses the free throw, right? We get the rebound. We win. And then after the game, Dante's father goes yelling at the ref, right? The ref goes yelling at my coach, my son's coach. And then my son's coach is hearing the rebuke from the ref. And he goes, but he's a minister. And then I kind of put my head down and make my exit real quick. I don't want to be beat up by Dante's dad either. But here's the point. There is an intensity with which you run this race that by any means necessary, you're striving to get the prize for which God has called you. You might be tired, but you're going to do whatever it takes because you know that this charge and this race that you're running isn't just about you, right? It's ultimately about the one who created you and saved you and called you. Right? This race that God has given you both individually and corporately, Restoration and Bridge, is ultimately about, while it might look unorthodox to say, Dante, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to ensure that we win this race. While it might look unorthodox to go jaywalking, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win this race. While it might feel crazy to go on an extended fast, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win this race. And I'm not sure you're hearing me, Bridge, but here's what this is entirely about. Are we willing to do whatever it takes to win the race? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to get the prize? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to actually ensure that we're aligning ourselves with the purposes for which God has called us to, and we're not going to allow whatever distraction to pull us away from what's before us to do. For some of us, it's, I'm not sure what's actually before me to do. If that's you, praise the Lord. As long as you can acknowledge it, you can get some answers for it. But the worst thing is to know that God has created you and to sit idly by and just kind of go through the motions. If that's you, you've tapped out. You're not running the race. You're sitting by like a bystander. We're going to do something today that I really consider preparation to run this race. I used to be able to just get up and go run ball or run. Now before I run, I gotta stretch or I'm gonna pull something. Amen. And frankly, what stretching is counting the cost of what's before you. And in a lot of ways, we don't run our race because we haven't counted the cost of what it actually is to run this race. So for a moment, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite everyone to just bow their heads, close their eyes. And I'm going to invite you to just be honest with you. Just be honest with yourself and be honest with the Lord. Are you running your race? In this season, are you even sure of what you're running towards? I want you to be real with the Lord for a moment. Are we obediently doing what the Lord is asking of us to do? Or are we continually making excuses to cave and give in to our own convenience? Let's pray. Lord, you've given us this charge to run our race. Running our race with an eye on the prize. Running the race set before us in a manner that'll result in winning the race and not just competing in the race. Sometimes, Father, we get caught up in this comparison thing and we miss the fact that you're doing a thing in us and you're calling us somewhere. I pray in this hour, Father, that you might enable us to see afresh and anew the race that you've privileged us to run through your eyes and not ours. May we not be bogged down by the obstacles anymore. May we not be so caught up and tired because it's hard. But may we recognize that your Spirit's with us. And you've empowered us to go forth even as we might feel unable. Our strength is made perfect in our weaknesses, Lord. And so, Father, here we are afresh and anew. Help us to run this race for you. Lord, I'm particularly heartened by those who have said an unwavering yes to you. But Lord, I also bring forth those, dear Lord, who are just in this place where they're just not certain, Lord, of what they're supposed to be doing, where it is that you have called them to. Lord, I pray, Spirit of the living God, even now, that you might speak to their hearts, that you might enable them to actually submit to leaders and mentors that you've placed around them and begin, Father, to actually take the real inventory of even the gifts and the talents and passions that you've placed in them for the purposes for which you've created them. Lord, I pray even now for those who you have placed a passion and a burden for other people, but there's this timidity about sharing the hope that they have in Jesus. Father, I pray that there's a recognition that this timidity isn't from you.
That's right.
That we might, as a people, be able to begin to take every thought captive, making sure it aligns and is obedient to you as you give us charge in your word. Father, so much of this race is in our mind and is under assault and attack in our mind. May we be attentive and submitted to your word afresh and anew. May we follow the path that you've placed for us and go forth as you've given us charge. Father, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bridge restoration, there's a race to run. There's a race to run and a way in which to run the race. Are you running your race or have you tapped out? Run your race. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.